From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all his fullness.
Thank you for joining us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns continues his exposition of Romans chapter 10 as he commences a message entitled, Old News, New News, Good News. In verses 9 and 10, Paul gives one of the best descriptions of the way of salvation to be found in the New Testament, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. As Dr. Cairns will explain, Paul is talking about a particular kind of faith in this passage. This is not a simple assent to historical fact, but a wholehearted reliance upon Christ for salvation. Dr. Cairns will be with us in a few minutes. First, we invite you to enjoy this brief devotional thought from Morning and Evening, a collection from the pen of the great 19th century English preacher C.H. Spurgeon. This morning's text is found in Psalm 104, verse 16. The cedars of Lebanon, which he hath planted. Lebanon's cedars are emblematic of the Christian, in that they owe their planting entirely to the Lord. This is quite true of every child of God. He is not man-planted, nor self-planted, but God-planted. The mysterious hand of the Divine Spirit dropped the living seed into a heart which he had himself prepared for its reception. Every true heir of heaven owns the great husbandman as his planter. Moreover, the cedars of Lebanon are not dependent upon man for their watering. They stand on the lofty rock, unmoistened by human irrigation, and yet our Heavenly Father supplies them. Thus it is with a Christian who has learned to live by faith. He is independent of man, even in temporal things. For his continued maintenance he looks to the Lord his God and to him alone. The dew of heaven is his portion, and the God of heaven is his fountain. Again, the cedars of Lebanon are not protected by any mortal power. They owe nothing to man for their preservation from stormy wind and tempest. They are God's trees, kept and preserved by him and by him alone. It is precisely the same with the Christian. He is not a hothouse plant sheltered from temptation. He stands in the most exposed position. He has no shelter, no protection, except this, that the broad wings of the eternal God always cover the cedars which he himself has planted. Like cedars, believers are full of sap, having vitality enough to be evergreen, even amid winter snows. Lastly, the flourishing and majestic condition of the cedar is to the praise of God only. The Lord, even the Lord alone, hath been everything unto the cedars, and therefore David very sweetly puts it in one of the Psalms, Praise ye the Lord, fruitful trees, and all cedars. In the believer there is nothing that can magnify man. He is planted, nourished, and protected by the Lord's own hand. And to him let all the glory be ascribed.
Oh, praise him, Lord.
Over the years that Let the Bible Speak has been on the air, many folks have commented on the beautiful sacred music which is a part of each program. Now, for a limited time, you may obtain a CD containing a sampling of these Christ-honoring selections. Entitled Our Great Redeemer's Praise, this CD will provide you with nearly an hour of such beloved pieces as Praise My Soul, the King of Heaven, Be Still, My Soul, May the Mind of Christ My Savior, and In Heavenly Love Abiding. The songs are performed by the various musical groups of Bob Jones University in Greenville, South Carolina. This CD is available free of charge to our Let the Bible Speak listeners. You may contact us by email, by telephone, or by regular mail. You may write to Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Ask for your free copy of the CD, Our Great Redeemer's Praise. But don't delay. The supply is limited. Call or write for your copy today.
Turning again to Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. The section we're dealing with actually starts back in chapter 9 and verse 30 and runs through the end of chapter 10. But we have made some progress. I think I'm going very quickly, but when I look at the actual verses we have covered, it seems still a little pedestrian. But we commence now at verse 9, and we read through the end of the chapter. Romans chapter 10, and we'll commence to read at verse 9. And this is, of course, breaking into the middle of a sentence. This is the word of faith which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But I say, have they not heard? Yea, verily, their sound went into all the earth, and their words unto the ends of the world. But I say, did not Israel know? First Moses saith, I will provoke you to jealousy by them that are no people, and by a foolish nation I will anger you. But Isaiah is very bold, and saith, I was found of them that sought me not. I was made manifest unto them that asked not after me. But to Israel he saith, all day long have I stretched forth my hands unto a disobedient and gainsaying people. Amen. The Lord will add his own blessing to, I hope, this now familiar passage of his own precious word for his name's sake. Most of you from your school days will remember, either with pleasure or with pain, your introduction to some of the great English poets and the name of Alfred Lord Tennyson always looms very large in any consideration of great English poets. I sort of remember having to study something of Tennyson, and I'm not sure that the teacher had very much success in culturizing this Philistine, even by making us appreciate, in a literary sense, what Lord Tennyson was writing. I'm not going to talk to you at all about his poetry. It's a little bit of a line of prose. Actually, it was just a little bit of conversation that the great Englishman had with an old lady that took my attention. He was passing the open door of her cottage, and seeing her sit there, he looked in and he said, what's the news this morning? And the old woman, we would say with one foot already in the grave and soon to go, the old woman looked at him, and she said, I know of only one piece of news, and that is that Jesus Christ died for all mankind. And as he heard her, Lord Tennyson said, that's old news and new news and good news. You know, that's exactly what we have here in the 10th chapter of Romans, in the passage we're reading this evening. Old news, new news, and good news. Centuries ago, this news swept the ancient world and changed it forever by its power. Someone has said, there's nothing deader than yesterday's news. But you see, the gospel is as much today's news as it ever was yesterday's. And so it is still alive with power. The very power of God, as Romans 1 calls it, unto salvation to every one that believeth. That's the gospel I'm called to preach. C.H. Spurgeon, on thinking of this, said, I bless my Lord and Master. He has given me a gospel which I can take to dead. And Spurgeon emphasized the word dead sinners. A gospel which is available to the vilest of the vile. And in that sentiment, the great Baptist preacher re-echoes the sentiments of the Apostle Paul here in Romans chapter 10. You remember what we have emphasized thus far. The great theme of this entire section, I have summed up as saving faith and the free offer of the gospel. Following hard on the heels of Romans 9, in which, in his defense of God and the gospel, Paul has explored the depths of such subjects as predestination and election. And he has made such tremendous statements as, it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. Following hard in the heels of such a treatment, Paul immediately goes to the truth of offering Christ to sinners and gives the promises of God's gospel to all who may call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We noted that twice in this passage. He makes the statement, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. The idea being to lock our attention in to the responsibility of faith. By that I mean the responsibility of hearers to exercise faith in the gospel of Jesus Christ, what Paul calls the obedience of faith. And as he explores this great jointure of two aspects of truth, saving faith, the, if I may say, universal or free offer of the gospel, as he brings them together, the point he makes is that unbelief is a sin that excludes sinners from God's salvation. But faith in Christ, by whomsoever exercised, faith in Christ always, inevitably, receives salvation. Now, we've already noted how he has dealt with this. Going back to chapter 9, verse 30 to the end of the chapter, he makes it clear that the sole instrument whereby men receive Christ and salvation in him is faith. Faith in the Lord Jesus. Then in the opening verses of chapter 10, he makes the point that nothing, not even the most sincere religious zeal, can take the place of saving faith. It is salvation by grace through faith and nothing else. And then in chapter 10, verses 4 to 8, he gives us an insight into the reason for God's insistence on faith alone by showing that any other method would render the salvation of man impossible. Apart from faith, any other way of reaching a place of acceptance with God would be an utter, absolute impossibility. And quoting Moses from Deuteronomy chapter 30, what he is doing is saying, to tell a man that he must be saved other than by simple faith in Christ would be tantamount to saying that he has got to scale to heaven himself to bring Christ down to save him. He would have to live as if Christ had never lived and died and risen again. He would have to go down to the depths of death and the grave himself in order to raise up Christ. This is a total, absolute impossibility. And Paul is saying, this is why God insists on salvation by grace alone, through faith alone, because anything else would be a total impossibility. Now we come to the passage we started with at verse 9 tonight. And we come to the fourth great remark that Paul is making, the fourth great proposition that Paul is proving. And it's this, that God demands a very particular kind of faith. And he places everyone who hears the message of justification by faith under obligation personally to exercise faith in Christ. Now let me make clear what I'm saying. I don't have time to go into anything of a church history lesson or a historical theology lesson. But in the statement I have just made, I have cut through decades and even centuries of sometimes very bitter debate among Reformed people. Spurgeon was accused of preaching duty faith. There is a brand of Calvinism that believes that it is heresy to preach that men ought to believe, that faith in Christ is the duty of people who hear the gospel. Well, I'm cutting through that debate not to go into the various nuances of it, but simply to say that this passage to me very clearly establishes that God demands a particular kind of faith, and he places everybody who hears the gospel under obligation to exercise that faith personally. Now, there are people who immediately object. But I want you to see what I am basing this on. Here is the word of faith that we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thy heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. I say there are some who object to the statement, both parts of my statement. Some object, God is not here demanding a particular kind of faith. And at first blush, there seems to be some reason to their argument. They say, here the contrast is between faith and works. That is, between faith and no faith. It is not a contrast between one kind of faith and another. And as I say, at first blush, that seems to make sense. Until you stop and realize that Paul was addressing the Jews. Now listen. The Jews would have said to Paul, but we do have faith. You say we keep the law, but we still have faith. We believe in the God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob. We do have faith. But you see, Paul is saying that saving faith is a very particular kind of faith. It is not a general assent. It is not what is called by theologians a mere historical faith. It is not an acceptance merely of the facts of divine revelation. It is a very particular kind of faith. It is faith in Jesus Christ.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info at faithfpc.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.faithfpc.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us Monday through Friday at this same time as we let the Bible speak.